flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It was a weird day yesterday watching the AFC and NFC championship games. Let's face it, the Detroit Lions, I think for most of us, have kind of just changed our makeup as people that follow and are fans of sports, because for years this felt like it was to me a great day. It was a fun day. I looked forward to it. And yesterday I went through the motions. It rang hollow. I started asking myself weird philosophical questions about why I care so much and why football? What is it about this tussle between large men battling for real estate? Why do I care this much? I'm like, why am I even asking this question? Well, I know why. It's because Lions have sort of changed our DNA as fans. I considered joining Instagram. Like I was doing all kinds of weird non-Doug things. But it's probably all for the better, right? 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson Gator out today. Champa Chump, get your votes in. We will get to the Pistons, the Red Wings, both worthy of some discussion. But I think what yesterday proved is that there's a long way to go to heal what happened in that Washington game. And there was a lot of blank you, Commanders. Hey, really cool that you came in here and won the turnover battle 5-0. But did not enjoy watching you look like mortals and turning it over as much as you did. They lost a turnover battle 4-0 yesterday. Kitech on Twitch put it this way. He said, the NFC Championship game pissed me off in the first snap. All last week, Detroit couldn't get any pressure on Jaden Daniels, and Philly gets a sack on the first play. Technically, it was a one-yard gain, but yes, pocket collapse. They got the Daniels. He had to scramble, got a one-yard game stopped. But yeah, yep. And Detroit was perfectly capable of doing that. The guys they needed to do it were shelved, but they were perfectly capable of creating pressure. 4-8-5-3-9-97-97. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Joe. You're next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Doug. So, I pretty much hated everything about yesterday from start to finish, capped by the Super Bowl that it produced. Like, I can't think of the worst combination. But I've been thinking about this a lot. Last year was devastating in a moment. This year, the pain just lasts a lot longer. And here's why, and I'll preface this by saying, I tell my kids all the time, life's not fair, so don't use that as an excuse.
Yep.
But this year just feels like the football world was against us. You know, this is a team that did everything right. The players bought in, they fought for each other, extremely likable. Same with the coaches, no drama, no issues. They go out in the field and they do everything you can ask for. Like, they were playing like the best team in football almost the entire season, despite these injuries racking up. And then they get to the Bills game And that, to me, is when the injuries just hit the tipping point. It was like, it's going to be too much. And what do? They just keep winning, you know, and they...
Well, it was a warning sign, right? I mean, we didn't want it to be, but that Bills game was, okay, this is an elite offense. And if you don't figure something out, because the job isn't, you're not probably going to solve the riddle, but you're going to have to find a way to overcome it. And you're right. That Bills game was a warning sign.
Yeah. And then just on the flip side, you look at like Philly now, and here's a team, you know, not taking anything away from them. They were always going to be our biggest threat. They're very talented, but they've got players creating all kind of drama. Their coach is unlikable. He's a jerk fighting with fans, or their fans are jerks, but they get no injuries. You know, they get the Rams at home in a snowstorm, and they get the Redskins doing what we did the week before. So it's like, it's just hard to reconcile, because it's so frustrating that in a year that we had no breaks go our way, you know, I feel like this team did everything they could, but it just got derailed by the injuries.
Joe, it's funny because I'm sitting there and watching some pregame coverage and I'm talking about Philly not having N'Kobe Dean, and they lost Brandon Graham, and then that was kind of it. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that, what we wouldn't give to have two key cogs out, you know? I mean, just only two. Yeah. And that's a big part of it. And the funny thing is I've made this comment for years, and it just didn't matter. And that was, I fear that the NFL is too much a game of attrition, that the season is so long that a lot of who determines who wins a Super Bowl is based on, it's based on luck with injuries. And we never really cared. I think most of Detroit probably went in one ear and out the other. And now we've seen it firsthand. And they've added a 17th game, which I think is stupid. Short, again, so many leagues and sports are making these decisions, these short-term money grabs, to hell with the long-term consequences. And they're probably, what they're using to make their argument is the bottom line, the bank accounts. But the long-term, there are consequences. And one of them, by adding another game, just more attrition. Every little bit matters. And if you look at Philly's injury list, defensively, and compare it to Detroit's, it's laughable.
I don't like adding all the extra games and stuff like that, because I think it's just pure greed. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, everyone's going to have to do it. It wouldn't just be the Lions. And the Lions just got hit harder than most teams really ever do this year. Like, Philly played the same amount of games the Lions did, and they were much healthier at the end of the regular season than the Lions were.
Kang, and the guy made a great point at the very beginning of the call, and he's 100% right, and I think Dan Campbell subscribes to it too. Life's not fair. Don't use it as an excuse. You still got to find a way. You got to find a way to overcome the unfair and the bad breaks that are dealt, you know, and Lions, it didn't. But he's 100% right, and I credit Dan Campbell, because during the season, he never bitches about refs, and he never bitches about injuries. What did Brad Holmes say? Brad Holmes, in a season-ending press conference, said, when a player gets hurt, a season-ending injury, I feel bad for the player, but then I shift into what are you going to do about it mode. He doesn't do the woe is me thing. He tries his best to find a way to overcome that. The woe is me thing, when you're in charge, is a waste of time and energy, and it's counterproductive. I mean, do you know people in your life that all they do is bitch about everything, but they don't want to do anything about it? That's the worst. And to their credit, the people in charge of the Lions don't complain about stuff. They just try and figure a way. And so our guy's right.
Yeah, I mean, they never use an excuse. I mean, fans can, because, yep, you know, they can be sad all they want. They're not the ones playing the game or acquiring the players. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, the players, they got to step up. And they did so much this year as far as winning 15 games, getting the one seed. And that's why people had belief. They had belief that no matter what happens to this team, they can keep winning. And they were. But in the playoffs, you can't afford to mess up even once. And that's what happened. They had a bad day. The injuries, whatever, the turnovers caught up to them, and they got bounced.
Chris in Flint is next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
What's up?
So I just called in for my champ and chump. My champ is Antoine Randall-El. He's always been my favorite player, even dating back to college at Indiana. Followed him forever. So I'm happy to see him move up the ranks as an assistant head coach, which is really awesome. It sucks that he's in Chicago, but nonetheless, I'm happy for him. And my chump is I hate picking on people, even though they're athletes and make a lot of money. It's Dalton Kincaid. He had the opportunity to catch that. I know the ball wasn't great, but with Josh Allen being pressured, he still delivered it pretty good. It was in the air enough for him, and Kincaid just came up short. So, yeah, that's my chump, because who knows, with all the bad calls and everything like that, which I get and I saw him, that gave them an opportunity and a chance, and he just came up short on the biggest stage.
I want to talk about that play, Chris, and that's something. The two AFC games, and I feel you about picking on people. I chumped Mark Andrews last week, and there's no doubt that that's unfortunately a catchable ball. We'll get into it more. Champ and Chubb votes. How did you process yesterday, Lions fans? 248-539-9797. 97-1, the ticket. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. They are board certified in truck accident law. They are the only Michigan lawyer voted into the Truck Accident Lawyer Hall of Fame. Michigan Auto Law has taught over 300 truck accident legal seminars in 26 states. They also have the largest auto accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. And that's why if someone in my family needs a lawyer for an accident, I will steer him to my guy Steve and his crew at Michigan Auto Law. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. So the previous caller that chumped Dalton Kincaid. There are legendary plays in sports. And that felt to me like that should have been one of them. That should have been an epic completion. Josh Allen, from the moment he got that snap, was under heavy duress, a jailbreak blitz. He's got people in his face. He backs up. He's backpedaling. Everything about that play looked doomed. Absolutely doomed. And what he did was he threw it, and you're like, you could tell right away, he's throwing that up for grabs. There's nothing there, but it's fourth down, season's on the line. I can't take a sack. And so, you know, he just lets an arm punt go. And then you see where it landed, where his receiver was, in the midst of a sea of Kansas City defenders, 25 yards downfield. It was a totally catchable ball. That felt to me, not in terms of the style, that felt to me, not in terms of the style of play. That was Eli Manning to David Tyree. That was supposed to be Josh Allen's, like, unbelievable, immaculate reception. Like, that was an incredible play. And did he just throw it up for grabs? Or did he say, that my only shot is that Kincaid has the hole in the, there's a hole in the coverage downfield, and I just got to try and put the ball in that window, that pond in between everybody. It would have been an absolute miracle. And Kincaid's part in the play was not miraculous. Wasn't easy. It was a weird flutter duck. And I, you know, what Josh Allen did to me in that moment was amazing. It was incredible just to get the football to that place, given the defense that was called, the blitz that was not picked up. His options were limited, but he found an option that had a chance. And Kincaid's role in that play was to make this tough catch. It reminded me of the Josh Reynolds play, where in terms of the receiver's role in that play, makeable play, not an easy play, but a makeable play. What Josh Allen did was far more heroic than what Jared Goff did on that play. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to mix that up. But that's a catchable ball. And I feel bad because Wasn't easy. But Kincaid's got to catch that. And quite frankly, if Buffalo goes and scores and wins the game, it carries the day. It lives forever in Buffalo. But it's the story of the day. But it didn't, alas, it didn't happen.
So I'm going to give Josh Allen a ton of credit on this play. I think that's exactly who he's going to throw the ball to. I think the play was designed perfectly. If you look at that 360 aerial view, Kincaid's running wide open. The issue is, obviously, Josh Allen is under pressure. Not only is the free blitzer coming, but the other two guys that were supposed to be blocked beat their man. So he's got essentially three rushers coming at him. And is throwing the ball for a Hail Mary better than taking a sack in that point on fourth down? Of course it is. Yep. But I think he was looking for Kincaid, but he could not get enough on it. It's actually a miracle he got that much on it going backwards because he's got a cannon for an arm.
Yep.
And so with that being said, he gets it as far as he can. It does duck. It flutters there. And Kincaid's got to stop and kind of go back a little bit. But it's more than catchable. And in big games, big players make plays like this to have these big moments. And Kincaid's not he's not a third down blocking tight end.
No.
This guy's a pass receiving Pro Bowl type tight end. And he dropped the ball or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I think it was a great last ditch effort by Allen. And Kincaid had a chance to make Bills history.
I think that would have been one of the most talked about NFL postseason plays ever had they gone down and scored and won the game. And, you know, if we were doing this show in Buffalo, the two topics would be, can't we get a call on a big play? And that. And like the previous caller said, I give him credit. He feels bad nominating Kincaid for this, but it is what it is. It's a makeable play. 248-539-9797. TJ's in Detroit and next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, TJ.
What's going on, Doug?
How you doing, sir?
Well, I tell you what, man. I'm going to start by saying watching football for me right now, it's kind of cool, man, because I know with my team healthy, none of these teams are beating us, man. So I got good comfort. I have great comfort in knowing that. I want to give you my champ. And that's going to be my boy, B. Graham, man, going back to the Super Bowl to get him another one, even though he ain't playing, man. What a good, illustrious career my boy Brandon Graham had. And the chump, of course, has to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, I won't say the Chiefs. I'll say the referees that always get to referee in Arrowhead Stadium. The NFL has to do something about this, man. It's ridiculous. Like, you know, with Jones lining up in the neutral zone in that play, and they don't call offsides. It's just like you watch that game sometimes, and you watch the, you know, they have to do something with those side judges too, because I see that too many times where one judge is 1 yard up, one judge is 1 yard back. They need to just make one line judge make that call and live with it, because at least you only got one person to blame instead of having all this two people running in. Because how do you explain that at the end of the day? But one thing I want to leave you with, Doug, that I don't like. What I'm hearing over and over on the radio week after week, man, football is a team game, man. I played college ball, and when I tell you, football is a team game, I'm sorry. If we had a defense, then guess what? We're the only team in the NFL, I believe, that can win a football game with three or more turnovers, because our offense is just that good. The problem is we didn't have a defense to be able to get people off the field. Because if you turn the ball over, it doesn't necessarily mean the other team has to score. Because if you got a good defense, they probably won't. So I just want to give my boys credit. I know the schedule's tough. I'm not scared of that schedule, man. The league better hope we come back again and be injured, because that's the only way we won't win a Super Bowl.
TJ, you have a very healthy attitude. And my only follow-up is, where did you play college football?
I played at Anderson University in Indiana with Steve Tosker is an alumnus at Anderson University.
That's awesome. TJ, it's a very healthy attitude. It's a very healthy attitude. And I'm sure I will get there. And I know what you said is true. I fully believe, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, this whole thing stinks, is we know we belong. We totally know we belong. Didn't happen for us this year. But it makes it really, really weird and difficult to to watch these games, and that's kind of the tenor of our discussion today, is how did you feel watching the AFC and NFC championship game? Because I felt completely different. I didn't enjoy it as much. And I guess deep down, that's a good thing, right? Why didn't I enjoy it as much? Because we belong. And feel like there is a place for us at that table. We didn't make it, but there's a place for us at that table. And if we can zoom out and look at the big picture, that's a great thing. Kind of messed up what I used to like as a fun Sunday in sports. Just didn't, it rang hollow. I went through the motions yesterday. 248-539-9797. Dave is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Dave.
Yes, good morning.
What's up?
Well, you know, the way I held, the way I handled my NFL playoff depression yesterday was I did have it on in the background. I didn't watch it much. But I put together a Comerica Park jigsaw puzzle.
That was your coping mechanism, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Yeah, yeah. You ready for baseball? Well, and it killed some time.
Yep. Well, you know, and the other thing, I want to comment on what that guy spent $200 on Lions gear. You know, until probably last year, I just have not had any power, any emotion for the Lions. You know, I've lived here for 33 years. I'm a lot older than that. But, you know, I just had no great emotion for the Lions until last year, really. And, you know, I was going to get on that bandwagon. I resisted, you know, buying that gear. And I'm glad I did. I'll see what happens next year.
There it was, Ken. Classic. I've been a Lions fan since 2023.
The gear is still good for next year, people.
Yeah, the gear carries over. But we haven't confirmed this, but I'm pretty sure next year they're still going to be called the Lions and the color scheme is going to be the same.
It's still the Detroit Lions.
It's Carson Anderson, Gator out sick, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carson, Gator out today. He's sick. I got to tell you, one thing that's been going on in the show, in the studio, and those watching on video, there was a problem with the mic I usually sit on, the side of the desk I'm on. So I had to sit in Gator's spot, and I was totally discombobulated.
Yeah, people don't know, man. Lift the curtain, Doug.
So I went from Kang being on my right and the clock being on my right to Kang and the clock being on my left after like 17 years of sitting on one side of the studio. I kept looking at a blank wall for what time it was and turning and looking at an opposite direction to address Kang. And it's not like I don't see you. I could see you. It's just totally threw me off.
And also, when you first brought up the callers, the phone bank is different. It's on it's on your other side.
I started punching up. Suffice to say, it was a very, very backwards experience. And did you text Jansen?
Yeah, I text Jansen because I figured he would get this the most. Yeah, like, as far as my analogy,
this
or
is perfect. This is actually absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I text Jansen. I go, Doug, it's completely thrown off this morning. It's like going from left tackle to right tackle.
John made the point that going from tackle to guard, he said this years ago, going from tackle to guard, which he did, wasn't difficult. It's going from the right side to the left side was difficult. Going from right tackle to right guard, easy. Going from right tackle to left tackle, you have to invert everything.
Yeah, you had no practice reps either, man.
I had no practice reps, yeah. But we're all good now.
You're good now?
Yeah, I'm reoriented.
And by the way, to bring it back to the Lions,
yes,
a lot of people were down on Graham Glasgow this year. I honestly think the switch from right guard to left to guard played a bigger role than people realize. And if they don't bring back Zeitler and Mahogany goes to the left guard, they could put Glasgow back to right guard, maybe a more natural fit for him, and he may be better. So that's something to look into, by the way, as this season goes along.
248-539-9797. Kyle is on a sell and next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Kyle.
Hello, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
Wanted to kind of get in here. I got a kind of different take with the refs, and then I also got a little champ in the chump.
Okay.
As far as watching the game last night, I'm watching it right after halftime, and it's 21-16. And I'm watching Kansas City come out, and they're moving the ball on Buffalo. And you watch a pass, and I do believe it was to Hollywood Brown. He completes it. They missed the face mask call on Buffalo, which would have gave Kansas City another 15 yards. They set Mahomes, end up, Kansas City ends up punting. Don't even get a chance for a field goal. Very next drive, Buffalo starts driving on Kansas City, running the ball. They even announce it on the game. It looks like Buffalo's, you know, jumping off sides a little bit, false starting. They end up scoring that James Cook touchdown. They go up. Kansas City comes right back next drive. And Buffalo's jumping.
So your argument is Buffalo got calls too.
Buffalo got calls too, which is it's a sports thing. But I watched that whole third quarter, and it seemed like Buffalo got calls. They got the lead. And then fourth quarter, Mahomes does what Mahomes does. And it's not saying that he doesn't get calls at times or Kansas City doesn't get calls. But like I said, it's sports.
They do.
And I just looked at it more as Buffalo, like you guys have been saying, had the chance to win. Josh Allen had way too much time after Kansas City kicked that came down and kicked that field goal.
Has this ever happened to your team where you just felt like you were running into, I don't know who your team, who's your favorite team, Kyle?
My favorite team is the Miami Dolphins.
Did you ever feel, do you ever feel like the Dolphins ran into a game where the refs were against the Dolphins?
I don't remember so much as the refs against the Dolphins. For me, it, growing up in sports in general, you watch Jordan to the point where Jordan extended to being, you know, the greatest in 6 out of 8 years of championships. Tom Brady with New England and his system where everybody kind of gets calls at times. Your fan favorite pitchers for baseball.
No, I think that's a great. I'm glad you brought it up. I think that's how people feel about Mahomes. Is he gets Jordan calls? He gets superstar treatment. Here's what I think would have happened if everything was inverted. This is what I think would have happened. And you know, I don't know this, but on the very last ditch Josh Allen effort. The arm punt that Kincaid couldn't catch. If everything was inverted and it was Patrick Mahomes that threw that pass, that fell incomplete, I have a hard time believing that wouldn't have been roughing the passer on Buffalo. And I don't think it was roughing the passer. Let me be clear on that. It didn't look like roughing the passer. I feel like that would have been the flag. If Mahomes had been the guy that was hit on that blitz, just letting it go, that would have been the classic Patrick Mahomes roughing the passer.
Well, let's talk about the flag that was or wasn't there, Doug.
Another weird thing.
Yes.
Apparently on the radio call, they said there's a flag.
They did?
Yes. And the TV call, they put the flag, and then you're sitting there waiting for this.
So obviously, I'm watching on TV. I'm not listening to, you know, Chiefs radio or any national broadcast. Jim Nantz literally said there's a flag, and then on our TV screens, everyone saw it. Yep. The flag, you know, word comes up with it in yellow on the bottom screen of the screen. And he said, Jim Nantz said, producer like basically told him there's a flag on the field, and Romo said, I don't see a flag. So someone told somebody there was a flag.
Yep. 248-539-9797. It, you know, look, this, it's, it feels like after many big Chiefs wins, there's a call or two that they had to have and they got it. And again, we go back to Kang's stat, 12 straight playoff games. The other team has had more flags thrown on them than the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, Jansen said, that's what happens when you're a better team. The other guys get called for holding because you're a better team. That could be it.
I think that's true for the most part. Yep. I do. I really do. But the 50-50 ones, they don't seem 50-50 with the Chiefs. That's the issue I think everyone has, is that catch that Xavier Worthy had,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't think that was even 50-50. They're like, the ball hit the ground. How is that simultaneous possession? The Josh Allen, did he get it on fourth down in inches? Like, they're like, you're telling me that ball did not cross any point that ball touched, you know, the first down line? Things like that where the Chiefs always get that call. I think that's where people are really suspicious and they're getting sick and tired of it.
Greg's in Detroit and next. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Greg.
I just want to elaborate on how I feel for my last 365 days was for Sunday. That's what I've been living for, you know, figuratively, of course, to get to the second quarter, to get to the second half, to relive what I sustained my new sports car. And so... So this season kind of was hard for me because that's all I was living for, you know, and I didn't get a chance to live last summer because all I cared about was when summer camp was going to open up. All I cared about was preseason starting. All I cared about was the season starting.
You wanted a redo of the San Francisco second half.
I wanted to get to that point to, yes, absolutely.
To do it right.
Yeah, and to heal this wound that was a forever scar, because I know that without a doubt that it is the things that have to happen, the intangibles, the idiosyncrasies that have to happen for you to get back to that point. I mean, case in point, it had to happen that we had to have a bad call at Dallas. It had to happen that we had to have a no roughing the passer call against Matthew Stafford at the playoff game here. It had to happen that we didn't even get a Angeloni late hit call that it wasn't called for us to beat the Rams. So many things has to happen and line up for you to get back, and we were two completions away from going to the Super Bowl.
Craig, it's such an interesting point in that what haunted us was the second half against San Francisco. And yesterday was supposed to be take two. Yesterday was supposed to be our chance to right that wrong, to do it all over again, to maybe a better way to put it is just to come back better, just to come back and do it again, but do it right this time. Yeah. To show the improvement from the year before. That was San Francisco that haunted us. There was a little bit of, hey, we're on our way up. This is going to be okay. But that was supposed to be our time. He's right. He's right. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Kick of Destiny is back, and this time it's Manning versus Manning. Every Manning for himself. The Super Bowl II legends will all take the field in a sudden death field goal showdown. Peyton versus Eli live from New Orleans. One kick to claim ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner now in the FanDuel app. And if you back the right brother, you'll earn your share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick and don't forget to tune in to watch this showdown live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox at 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Doug and bet with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. No purchase necessary. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Pistons have a huge game tonight. We'll get into it next hour. Feels like a huge game for what, you know, a late January regular season game for a team that's on the rise. I think there's some premium on this game. We'll get into it next hour. 248-539-9797. Look, it's weird. It's weird how a football team that has frustrated the hell out of us historically truly has kind of changed, I think, the DNA of Detroit sports fans. Because we're getting a lot of this today is what I think for most of our, and I don't try to speak for everybody. I never have done that. I can just speak for myself, but we're getting a lot of people to feel the same way. The championship Sunday in the NFL had been a great day, been a fun day. And we could always sit there and dream about what it was like to be in that game. And then we got to experience it at the end of the 2023 season. But here we sit a year later, and I went through the motions yesterday. It rang hollow. It was having me ask existential philosophical questions. It was a weird day. I wasn't into it. And it's because we feel like we have the proper credentials to be there. We feel like we have a seat at the deserve a seat at the table. And I think all those things are true. We do have the proper credentials. We do deserve the seat at the table. It just didn't happen. And this is a lot harder to just appreciate, you know, the magnitude of these games, the intensity of these games. And then there's a level of frustration when every time, you know, Washington would commit a holding penalty or fumble a kickoff, we'd be like, where was that 7 days ago? But the bottom line is, you know, it's the zoom out is that's a great thing. We got a really, really good football team in Detroit. And, you know, really good football teams aren't guaranteed anything. You have to do it on the field. You have to do it on the field. And the prime example might be what this era of 49ers football might be. Came close a bunch, went to multiple Super Bowls, always in the mix. But are they ever going to get to the mountaintop? There's no guarantees. No guarantees. 248-539-9797. How would you characterize your feelings yesterday? Champ and Chump come out every Monday. Got a bunch of those votes we got to get to, and we will. Coming up, if you send a text, there's a good chance we'll read it. Stay locked in. Gator's out sick today. Let's go to Blair. He's on a sell and on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Blair.
Hey, guys. What's good? I just got a quick question. You know, a lot of us feel like it was inappropriate for Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn to be interviewing during the bye week, because it took their focus, you know, off of the game. And now that the Chiefs and the Eagles have a bye week, you think it's appropriate for their OC and DC to go looking for a new job? Or should they be preparing for the Super Bowl? And if it's different, why do you think it is?
Kellen Moore was taking interviews when he didn't have a week off. And I didn't even know you could do that.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't fall. This is the way the calendar works. I don't fall into I think the NFL needs to take a look at, all right, do we just put a freeze on the hiring and firing period until after the Super Bowl is played, just to kill any speculation about this? Would the coaches prefer that? Does it really matter if everybody who fires a coach has to wait until the Super Bowl is done before they can officially conduct interviews? Because I think Ben Johnson's game plan wasn't turn it over five times.
Right. I mean, it's like looking for a new wife while you're planning your wedding.
No, it's not. Because you're not committed for life to a coaching position.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. But I don't know. I just feel like it's inappropriate. You should be focusing on us now. You know, you can do that after the season. I know a lot of us feel that way.
I don't know that you can. I know a lot of people feel that way. But because if you say, I'm not going to talk to you till after the season's done, there's a chance that you're not going to get a shot at that job. But
this goes back to, Doug, how, you know, we've always talked about it with players, coaches. Fans want the people on their team to be 1,000% committed to only winning a championship for their entertainment. They don't want an outside life. They don't want personal things. Like, hey, you should just be getting healthy, staying healthy, learning the playbook, practicing, go to bed.
Yep.
Right? And that's just not the case. And especially for coaches, like, this is the system they've always had. And now Lions fans care because it affects them. But this is they have a window when they can interview for opportunities to better themselves and their lives and their families' lives. And it's unfortunate. It is the timing. I don't love it either. But they can do two things at once. I know people don't like it.
It's really interesting, right? Because what this is the system that we have, and there are plenty of examples of coaches taking interviews in the past and going on to win Super Bowls. But the only people that really know if they weren't totally focused are Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, and probably Dan Campbell, and maybe other members of the staff. Was there anything about the game preparations that was lacking? The rest of it is just speculation and looking for something, some sort of scapegoat or something. But it, when you do this, and this is not unusual behavior. Like, I'm not mad at the caller or anybody, really. It's so much easier to say it was this one thing, and it was only this one thing, and without this one thing, we would have won, when it's rarely just one thing. Logan's in Detroit, and he is next. Hi, Logan.
Hey, Doug. I just wanted to say that I was watching the games yesterday, and maybe not like other people, but just was watching, seeing how Philly played so well on defense. I was just sitting there like, yeah, there's no way that I think we were beating Philly, even if we beat the Commanders. Just watching how the Commanders couldn't run the ball at all on Philly. Meanwhile, they were able to run it for like 8 yards a clip on us. And I get that that was because of our injuries. So I'm just looking at it like, you know, this wasn't a 15-2 team that fraudulently got to that stage and then, you know, lost in the playoffs like the Vikings with all their players. You know what I mean? This defense had an historical amount of injuries, and we're still able to put together 15 wins. And then, unfortunately, you know, matchups matter a lot in the playoffs, and we didn't match up well against, you know, the Commanders' offense. Even if our offense has a B game, we might, you know, win, so it doesn't take away from our offense playing bad. But I just, you know, I'm looking forward to next year already. So we got a good team, and, you know, that's where I'm at.
I'm very much looking forward to next year. And because I am so looking forward to next year, and the product has a chance to be a great product, is why I wasn't looking forward to the AFC and NFC title game nearly as much. And I can probably say with a degree of certainty that I probably won't enjoy the Super Bowl as much as I did in the past, which was always sort of this great celebration of football and America and beer and food and wings and family and friends. And it was just, everything about it was great. But I don't know if I'm going to look at it the same way. I only know in that moment of time if I'm as excited about it in the moment as I have been in the past. But you're right. The reason is because things are good. Like, this is, it's totally worth the sacrifice, is a good way to maybe put it. The sacrifice of not being as thrilled by the AFC and NFC title game and not being as thrilled by watching the Super Bowl, it's totally worth that sacrifice because we got a really good football team. That's, I'm not feeling it in this moment. I'm not stoked about it in this moment, but it's true. Brian in Lansing writes in, Champ Madison Keys winning the Australian Open. Chump me for buying closets full of Lions gear throughout the last 50 years.
What, huh? Has he just completely given up? What?
I mean, are you still, you have more reason to own it now than any time prior in your life. Right? Have we ever gone into an offseason with this much authentic and justifiable optimism? Unnamed texter, Champ Saquon Barkley. Chump, whoever told Nance there was a flag on that 4th-and-5 play?
That was just, I still think that's really strange.
So, yeah, maybe we've got the radio call somewhere. Kevin Harlan. People are saying Kevin Harlan said there was a flag on the play. Now, maybe he said a flag on the play because they had the TV screen in front of them and they saw the flag graphic. But that was weird. And all it does is fuel speculation. They picked up a flag against Kansas City. From Brian and Troy, Champ, there are no champs today. It's a sad world. Chump the refs in that Bills game. The NFL might as well be WWE now. Okay, so WWE is scripted. Maybe this is just a classic. I'm going to overemphasize the point. I just think Mahomes gets superstar treatment. And I think he exploits it. Slows down near the sideline to induce him getting hit as he steps out of bounds. faking the slide and turning up field, faking running out of bounds and turning up field. That is taking advantage of the rules, and it leads to more speculation. Champ Saquon Barkley, chump Joe Schoen for telling Barkley to test the market. What is that's the GM of the I said his name wrong. The GM of the Giants.
Yeah, I think that's who he's referring to.
248-539-9797. We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback. Let's talk about this Piston-Cleveland game, too, next hour. Look, when you are where the Pistons are, and you're midway through the season, these are big games. And I'm excited for it tonight. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.